Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. There were things about that encounter that were super hot. He would do certain things and move my body into certain positions, and the way he would grab me and the way he would say, like, good girl, or praise me for something, it was really clicking into my submissive brain. Even people that I met along the way that I deeply loved. Like, what if BE was the first person I met and it wasn't Titanic? I may have just gone straight on to another monogamous relationship, and none of this would be what it is. First of all, I'm skeptical of everything that comes out of this motherfucker's mouth, and know how to take action and go after it and get it. And I reward such behavior profusely. I love it. It turns me on. It makes me way more sexual with you. Like, way more. Oh my God. Doesn't matter if I'm the dominant or the submissive. Like, I am fucking turned on by you. If you've never had somebody beg you from the bottom of their soul and being for release and to come, if you've never experienced the power in that, oh my God, you are missing out. Trust me. It is something. Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Oh, okay. I'm so excited to be recording this right now. I'm so excited to be sharing this time with you. Thank you so much to everybody that listens and supports the show. You guys are fantastic. I am always blown away by your support, by your voicemails, emails, questions, comments, wonderful reviews. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for making this show a success and keeping me going for 7 years. I mean, really, that's the reason I'm still here. It's you guys. I wouldn't have done this. Did you know that? I mean, seriously, like, I would have shut this down a long time ago if it wasn't for you guys protesting when I was originally saying that I was going to shut it down. So thank you so, so much. Like, really just mwah, 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 so much love for you guys. It's hard to even put into words that, you know, I've created something that you guys just have latched onto and love and enjoy, and I get to sort of do this with you guys. And, you know, you're my confidants and you listen to these stories and then, you know, you interact with me, send me voicemails, emails. I just absolutely love it. So thank you so much. I can't overstate it enough how much I appreciate my listeners. So, you're the best. All right. Did you guys get a chance to listen to this last Saturday with Kathy Kay from Strictly Anonymous Podcast and Y.O. Lee from Sex Stories? Oh my gosh. First of all, I love those two women. Like, love them. Okay. We're quite an interesting trifecta. Kathy, I love Kathy Kay. She's like your typical New Yorker, the caricature that you would see of a classic New Yorker, but on steroids. I mean, she's a level 10 plus on the New Yorker scale. I love her. I really consider her a good friend, and I'm so blessed to, you know her that way. And I want you guys, seriously, really check. And same with Y.O. Y.O. is, she has so much creativity and artistic ability and sees things in the world and everybody in such a different way than I do, but very similar, but different. And I love her approach, and I just wish I had 1 ounce of the amount of creativity and patience and goodwill that she has for people and everything that she does. And I'm just proud of her and everything she's accomplished and her show too. So you really, guys, I'm just encouraging you, if you haven't ever listened to their podcast, check them out and subscribe to their shows and, you know, show them some love, send them some feedback. They're absolutely phenomenal. And the longer I do this, the more I just realize like what it takes for everybody that stays in this genre. You know, it's difficult. I mean, I have done things in my life that take a lot of what I call just sheer grit and determination. And it's serving me very well in the podcast industry. Cause it's not all unicorns and butterflies, guys. It's an uphill battle. So anyway, you know, the more appreciation we can show for these two very talented women, the better. All right. I know you guys, I know my fans and my listeners are amazing. Like, let's give YO and Kathy K some amazing love. Like, show them how much you love that episode from last Saturday. Okay. Now, guys, I want to do updates today, and I'm going to do some updates, but I'm also going to tell you about, I'm backlogged, so I'm going to give you like a Nico story at the very end here. We'll get to the Nico story, but I've got to do my updates here because everything's gotten so, like, I have done so much. There is a lot going on, and I feel like I've gotten the releasing of that information to you guys. When you get it, it's new, but I'll have these experiences, these encounters, or these ideas, like, I want to do a show about this. And then it may take me a little bit to get that out to you. So, you know, because of scheduling, and when I finally sit down and record it, the ideas stay there. The actual, obviously, everything's happened. This is all in the rearview mirror now, these things. But, you know, how far off of real time is it, right? I want you guys to be just knowing what's happening right away. The best way to do that, honestly, since it can't be on this pod, there's a delay for me getting you this information. But if you want the raunchiest, most real-time current information, that would be the private podcast. I will literally, you guys, as I've mentioned, like, I could be in some dude's home ready to bail the fuck out of there. But I'm like, wait a minute, let me whip out my microphone before I go. Or, you know, I can actually just come home, straight home from an encounter. Or sometimes I'm still in the car, like on my way home. And I'm like, I have to get this out. I will fucking record something in my car. This is not above me. I want that experience to be memorialized as it's fresh in my mind. And I want to be able to share it with you guys as fast as possible and uncensored as possible. And the best place for me to do that is my private podcast. So it's super easy, guys. I highly recommend you sign up. It is at thecuriousgirldiaries.com. Just click on exclusive up at the top there, and you'll go right to the private podcast and jump on in. There's lots of content. I'm almost a year into the private podcast. And so I'll do content and bonus content, and it's very fun. But that's also expanding the community. I know I kept talking about that. It is coming. That's going to be so much more content and so much more interactive with me. And I feel like that's a really good way to do it. Just where I can share more about myself and everything. Just the story behind the story, stuff I do in my daily routine. Just a lot more in depth. So sign up now before it converts to the community, because community prices go up because we're doing lives and there's a lot more content. Okay, done with that. Now, let's start with my first update, because you guys have been asking about the guy with the smaller than average penis. Like, have I talked to him? There's been a ton of questions coming my way about that. Well, let me tell you, no, I have not heard from him. And I think when I first told it, I said, you know, I just don't think, or maybe I was really in depth about all the details with the private podcast peeps. And I don't know if I explained it that kind of when I left, it was sort of, I was feeling very awkward. And I felt that was kind of coming across in a way. And like, as I was walking out, I just kind of did like the, And this is so awful. Like, I don't know. Why did I do that? That was on me. But I just did like the two finger, like over my shoulder. Didn't even look back. I was like, yep, all good. See ya. You know, like, I don't know. Like I said, the whole thing was awkward. But that experience was weird in the sense that there were things about that encounter that were super hot. He would do certain things and move my body into certain positions. And the way he would grab me and the way he would say like, good girl, or praise me for something, it was really clicking into my submissive brain. And I don't mean in like, it's hard to explain, you guys, because sometimes people will say things to me in the bedroom, in a sex act where they're going into more of a role play, you know, of something. So a role play of dominance. It's not like natural. It's not really who they are kind of a thing. And it's a feeling. It's like, it's a feeling. I had someone asking me, I was just going through my voicemails and someone was asking me like, how do you know what are the characteristics you're looking for in dominance? Like, how do you know? And I was just like, fuck, that is so hard. That's where the art meets the science. It's literally a feeling in your gut. It's the way that person, they're on a certain radio frequency and you are tuned into it and you're on it or you're not. And there was some just in the, there was a lot of things that he did in that moment that were, while we were together, that were kept like triggering my brain, like switching it like into submissive mode. And I'll be honest, I mean, like that hasn't happened in years. Like nobody's done that for me in years. So it was kind of confusing. It was kind of confusing because my, you know, mentally I was kind of like, okay, I'm awkward. What is happening here? When I saw the size of his penis, like it threw me. It threw me because I wasn't expecting it. It's the first time I've had that experience and I'm being honest about it. I'm putting it out there. It's not a slight on him because I actually don't care. You know, like I don't know what it feels like inside of me. Like I'm totally like open-minded. That makes sense. I just haven't ruled it out. I mean, I don't actually know. I don't have enough data to say one way or the other at this point. And that's why I'm totally would go there again. But so now what we're butting up against is my traditional modus operandi, which is you have to chase me. I'm the prize. I mean, I will not follow up. I don't follow up with anybody after I first am meeting them and getting established. These are the things that I do that where I want to see, what is this guy going to do? Does he have a dominant bone in his body? I mean, if you're waiting for me to follow up with you and set the next date, or you're not sure, and so you're waiting on me to give you some sort of signal or sign, you're not going to get that, but you might be confused by that, right? You might think it's because I don't like you or didn't have fun or whatever. No, that doesn't have anything. I am actually like sitting back and I'm like, let's see what this person does because I'm waiting. That tells me a lot. Now you might be doing the same to me. However, you're the man. So you just don't, from my point of view, I'm not saying it's right, but from my point of view, you won't get a pass. You know, I'm not going to all of a sudden make myself this aggressive woman, even though of course I have those characteristics. Of course I can do it. I'm not uncomfortable with it. I am purposeful about what I'm doing. And this part of the process is me saying, let me see who you are. I guess maybe, I don't know if it's not an ego thing. I just legit want to know, like, are you a man enough to move this along? You have to do the heavy lifting on the front end. I won't do it. I just won't. It's not, and that's the thing. It's the weird thing. It's not indicative of how much I like somebody or don't like somebody. I'll just die in silence over something, do you know? But I won't be the one to sort of kick the can down the road or push the pebble up the hill. Like, that is your responsibility as the man That is your responsibility. Move this along or not. But if you're waiting on me, it won't happen. So that being said, I have not heard back from him. And I figured, like, when I left, I just had this, you know, I was like, this just feels awkward. And so maybe I won't hear back. And that's okay. That is absolutely okay. But I will say that because of my curiosity, I am hoping I do, because I am so interested in finding out more about this issue. I mean, it's fascinating to me because it's novel. It's the first time it's happened. It's, you know, for years I've been getting questions and emails from guys about dick size and it doesn't matter and blah, 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 you know, and mine's this size. Will you rate it and smaller? And this is a thing, you guys. It's a thing. Men are, there's a certain portion of men that a healthy portion of men, the male population, that does question and wonder about their dick size. I mean, I can't blame you. Like, when you look at porn, it's all about big dicks, big dicks, big dicks, right? I don't know. Like I said, I have a lot of small sex toys. They're not big in stature, but they still pack a punch, right? So it just depends on how you're using it. And I think also whether you're that person's dick type. So I'm not married to a guy having to have a certain size. And I'm actually even more fascinated and more interested and more enthralled at this point now by somebody that has a smaller than average one, because this is new and novel. And therefore, it's almost like a ground level opportunity for this guy. He should get in on this because that's his lane. Like he's going to stand out above everybody else because of this unique and fascinating feature that I would like to explore more and find out more about. I don't really know that it's a deterrent or not. I don't know. So when there's an unanswered question, that's where my mind fixates and convexes and, you know, and that's where you get me, you know, like you have to, like I'm hooked because of that. And also not only because of that, I mean, just to his credit, everything else was perfectly lovely. And, you know, he's hot and sexy and then, like I said, he was doing these other, like, confusing my brain here, like, in the moment. I was like, I didn't know which way to go. I'm like, oh, my God, it's the, wait, that doesn't look like what I'm used to. And then, but then he was doing these other things, and I'm like, whoa, holy shit, your body's reacting to this guy. So, we'll see. And, you know, if he just totally, like, doesn't ever reach out again, I'm okay with that, too. Like, it's not going to hurt my ego, but I do hope, you know, I want to delve deeper here. I really, really do. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get that opportunity, but I would like to. And I did get a ball-sucking bruise for this guy. Like, literally got a bruise on my face that I've never had before because I was sucking his balls with such fervor and passion. And I wanted to do a good job, and that I gave myself a bruise on the side of my mouth with the suction power, my suction abilities. I don't know. That's talent right there. I feel good about that. Okay, let's move on to Jack and Jill. Everybody's asking me, like, what's going on with your throuple? Have you guys disbanded? I'm not hearing any more about it. Okay, yes, there is another Jack and Jill episode coming out because I haven't talked about all of our encounters, but I'll preempt it by saying that we're sort of in a transitional phase, I guess would be the good way to put it. And I'm not sure what's going on. So I went over to see Jack and Jill, and right now, so Jill is just booming, growing her business. She's like, and she's a fucking boss bitch. Like, I love her. I mean, so proud of her. She's growing her business and really kicking ass. And so that's taking a lot of her time. But she also, you know, once we all three started having sex, she was getting, you know, having just reactions. I think because there's another pussy and, you know, we all have, our vaginas are very sensitive. they pick up on all kinds of you know, just the bacteria, all this stuff. Anyway, not trying to gross anybody out, but this is just the way it is. And when you have a partner that's sticking his dick in her and then sticking his dick in me, and then, you know, back, we're getting all kind of crazy and doing everything. And we get our bacteria, our healthy, you know, like things get off. And so things kept getting kind of off for her, but then she also went to the doctor and she realized she had a fibroid. So she's a fibroid, and basically she's dialing back right now from the throuple, and, you know, Jack and I can have sex and stuff, but I really want to be in a throuple. Like, this is what I wanted. What I appreciate so much about them is they're very, I guess, high level of intelligence for each other, for having done a lot of work, both personally, knowing who they are, what they want. And they're very, first of all, they're a very sexy couple, but the openness and the just self-mastery that each one of them exhibits is super sexy. And so, and everybody, and I just, it's been so, aside from the, just the hot sexiness, it's sexy on the intellectual side too. Even when things are sort of changing and morphing, and I'm not even really sure what direction that's going at this point, but there, we're kind of taking a bit of a break, and that could be that was that, and that's all that happens, or we go back to it. But it's a bit like right now, it's sort of a transitional time. I'm not sure where it's going, but whichever way it lands, everything is A-okay. And I'm so glad, really, literally, I'll always be glad that they were my first couple, because they really did it right. And they really set the stage right for this stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like when I was way, way, way back in the beginning, when I was trying to find a good dominant and somebody who could sort of shepherd me safely into the world of BDSM, I needed somebody that wasn't a fucking idiot and wasn't a dingling. And it's all kind of debatable whether or not I went the proper route, but this is very similar in the sense that Jack and Jill have their shit together. And I never felt like just an accessory or something that was trying to solve a problem between two people who weren't communicating well, or their sex life wasn't exciting and thrilling enough. And that was never the case. And I always felt like an equal partner, and I always feel like an equal partner, and that, and a friend, and like somebody that they wanted to hang out with. And that is important. That is important. I don't just want hookups. I can get fucking hookups super easy. Right now, literally, this is awful. Like right now, like on one dating app, I've got 21 conversations going in 1 week. And that's only people that I've actually said, yes, I'll have a conversation with, because it's permission-based. There's thousands of people that I haven't even looked at, gotten to, or said yes to yet. And that's not me pissing on my own porch with that. That's just what's out there, you guys. Like, females in the dating, on the dating apps, we dominate. Because men, there's so many more men. That's the way it is. The more I've gotten into this, the more I've like looked up statistics and things like that. And I feel bad for the guys. It's a much harder road. What I was looking at, some statistics said that 60% of men, I'm sorry, 95% of men will swipe, is it swipe right or left? Whatever it is for the yes, swipe right. 3-5% of women are swiping right. That means because they're just bombarded. So I honestly think the guys know this. I'm not flattered necessarily by those numbers of this volume of, and that's, it's down. I mean, it was, the more I travel around, when I go down south in Florida, like all of a sudden, if you're in an area, then the app's picking up on boom, 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 boom. She's like, right. And then you're getting all these other pings, ping, ping, ping. when I, you know, when I more I move around, it'll jump up like, it'll jump up by 500 just in a couple of days. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. Now, again, I don't believe that people are sitting there actually looking and reading and all that stuff. I think they see one picture and they're just like, boom, yes. I think it's like a nanosecond, just like. And then if I like them, then they'll look and say, well, let me see who this person really is. Like, I'm not, this stuff doesn't go to my head. I'm not thinking I'm so fantastic or wonderful and everybody's after me. No. Although I am fantastic and wonderful and everybody should be after me. Why not? I'm actually a lot of fun. But anyway, guys, back to Jack and Jill. I don't know what's going on with that right now. Honestly, I don't know. And I don't know that maybe they know and haven't told me, or maybe there's a different vote going on in their camp. I don't know. But I feel like it's still wide open. And we'll see what happens. And no matter what, I'm always going to be grateful and thankful for them and that they were my first couple. Like, that was meant to be. That was really just how it should be. I could have been such a turnoff by being with different people with different agendas. And so I feel very glad about that and thankful, you know, like I said, to not have gotten sucked up with some ding-dongs. Now, speaking of ding-dongs, I do have a ding-dong story. Master ding-dong story. Oh my God. Since it's just updates, I'm just lobbing truth bombs out there. You guys know, I think I mentioned, and I hope I did. I see, sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get confused. Like, did I talk about this stuff on the private podcast and not on the public podcast? I do get a little confused. There is information I only talk about on the private podcast. And so, like, literally, that is the place to go for all the deets. If you want the tea, there it is. Okay. But I'm not sure if I mentioned that Titanic has been circling back around. My relationship with Titanic is a love-hate thing, right? I love him because literally he was the first person that kicked off this whole entire Curious Girl Diaries podcast. And because he was the genesis of all of this, like, it just could have gone so differently if it wasn't him and he didn't feed me all the bullshit at the time that he was feeding me. Like, I don't know. You know, you just don't know. And so because it was him and because everything that's sprung from that initial meetup, that initial breaking of that 3.5 year celibacy, that's because of him. And he did do a good job and he was very invested in the outcome of that. And it showed, you know, he showed up. It showed up in what he planned for our first get together, every little detail, everything that he did, and then everything after that for the time that we were together until things went shitty and I found out the truth, you know, but that whole part there was pivotal. And I often think, like, what if that would have been someone else? What if it would have been, I don't know, somebody that ghosted me, somebody, you know, like, literally I could put a different person in that scenario. Even people that I met along the way that I deeply loved. Like, what if BE was the first person I met and it wasn't Titanic? I may have just gone straight on to another monogamous relationship and none of this would be what it is. So that's my point. Now, I'm sort of defending him before I tell this story. The Titanic has always sort of circled back from time to time. And boomerang. We call it a boomerang. He's boomeranging. I don't call it boomerang. I call it a retread or whatever. But I think the more hip term is boomerang. So he boomerangs quite frequently with enough frequency over time. Like, it's intentional because he and I have not been together since the beginning of this. You know, we had our run, we had our stint. I mean, it might have been 4 months, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. And thank God. I mean, like, literally, he wanted to get a fuck pad. He wanted to get a place with me that where we could rendezvous and meet, since I don't have guys to my house. And, you know, he was like, well, when I'm in the city, we could just get a fuck pad, you know. And again, this is before I knew like what was really going on with him in his life. Like, I just have to thank God for some of the, or whomever you want to thank, whomever's watching out for me, you know, that like some of the stupid shit that I could have gotten involved in did not happen. Thank you. Bad decisions. Hey, you're stuck in a year lease or a 6 month lease with Titanic. You know, the guy who's married and lying to you about it. Oh, fucker. Anyway, Titanic will continue to sort of reach out. And my answer to him is always no. No, thank you. I could say it as mean or as polite as I want. He does continue to circle back. So on this most recent circle back, boomerang, let's call it. On this most recent boomerang, I just said, I mean, I finally sent him a voice memo and I just said, what are you doing? Like, what is this? Why do you, and I nailed it down though. I really did. I was like, let me just tell ya where my head's at. And I sent him a voice memo and I have the actual voice memo. It's in bonus content under the private podcast for what I said and sent to Titanic. So basically I was direct, but even more so direct. Now I'm always polite, but I am fucking direct. He then responds and says that he and his wife are separated. She's got a boyfriend. They're staying together till the end of the year. No, for another year till their youngest is out, up and out, that he's told her about me. And she said, knock yourself out. That is a turn of events, right? So I said, well, you know, I was like, first of all, I'm skeptical of everything that comes out of this motherfucker's mouth. Like, you have to be. Like, you have to be. There's no other way to be with him. So I just sent my voicemail, shutting him down. And then he sends me that text and I just don't respond. I just don't respond. I'm like, no, I'm not fucking biting on this because this just, I can't trust this guy as far as I can throw him. But I did think, I mean, he kind of pulled that out. He pulled it out of his ass pretty fast and it sounded very detailed. So, you know, I thought, well, whatever, good for him. I mean, if he's made a decision and that's it, then that's fine. But it didn't matter because I'm a no. I'm still a no. You can't lie to me like that so grossly and so, on such a massive level and think that I'm going to want to sign up for that at some point. That I'm going to be like, oh, let me take that on. Like, oh, you treat people in your life so well. Let me be the recipient of all of that confusion and bullshit. So I just didn't respond. And then I didn't hear from him. I thought, okay, well, maybe he's going away. A few weeks go by. Nope. Jumps back on. And now he wants to talk. So it's just like, fuck. Okay. I'm actually going to get on a call with him and nip this in the bud once and for all. So I do. Now, again, I'm operating under the premise like, well, I mean, I hope, I don't wish him ill will. Like, I hope he does get his shit together and his life together and finds happiness regardless, either way, right? It's not going to be with me, but either way, I don't want him to be unhappy. So we get on the phone and we're talking, da 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 da. And of course it comes up what I had said. And then he says, well, you know, yeah, I was really drunk and I lied. And I'm like, oh my God, literally. That was a lie too. He's not. He's just trying. Because what went around with that message was, you know, meet me. I want to have dinner with you. I want to see you. And that's when I was like, no, and no. And here's why. And that's when I sent the voice memo. I was like, I've got to really lay this out and I can't type it. Let me be very clear, very direct and very succinct. about what I'm trying to tell you. And then he comes and, but I did, but guys, I believed what he said to be true because it came out so fast and so quick. And he's like over there. And I didn't know he was drunk because he's just texting. I didn't know he was drunk. And here's the thing. And I said to him, I go, so when he admitted he was lying, I go, so I'm sorry, like when were you not lying? Were you not lying in the very beginning? Because the reason this story didn't hold water for me was in the beginning, you kind of, after I figured out what was going on, you kind of tried to spin the same story, but that was just bullshit and too late. And of course, I didn't fall for it then. Like, I mean, it's just, oh my God. And this is a grown-up man. And then he has the audacity to say, well, I'm trying to be a good guy. And I'm like, you are as douchey as they come. This shit, this is where my absolute zero tolerance policy for cheaters comes from. You can thank Titanic. Anyhow, guys, let's put some money on this. Like, it's not going to be the last time he will reach out. This is what he does. He cycles up, he reaches out, and then he goes away. I find this behavior odd and weird and shocking, quite frankly. Like, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know why. I don't know why people will allow themselves to stay married when they just compulsively have to cheat. But they want the security. It makes zero sense to me. Like, I cannot make sense out of nonsense. And this Titanic stuff has always been nonsensical. Except, again, we all need to say thank you, Titanic, because if it wasn't for him, I probably would not still be here. And I may have never done the podcast, literally. So I guess maybe his deception paid off. The end justified the means. I don't know, but I do wish him well, and I hope he gets his shit together and just like grows up and starts seeing himself for like really for who he is. Cause he doesn't, you know, be like, oh, I know I'm so bad, but look, I'm doing better. It's like, no, you're just trying to say what you think I want to hear. And I can hear that in his responses. And it's just, it's all about how can I manipulate you? It's really what it's about for him. And I always felt that. And that's why he and I were not destined to work out. I mean, aside from, let's put the marriage thing aside. Of course, we're not destined to work out. Jesus. But I'm saying that just need to manipulate and try to control me any way you can, any way possible. And if you've listened back, I've said this before about him. He will like, if he can't go through the front door, he tries to go through the window. And it's just my indication that it's not cute. It's not funny. It's not sexy. It's just, you actually do not respect my boundaries. You do not care about what I want and what I need, even out of a casual fucking relationship where you really don't have, I mean, like, this is so easy. So easy. Connect the fucking dots. It's casual. Like, you have no obligation other than like, when we're together, let's have fun. That seems pretty easy. But even that, he had to try to fuck up and control and just get weird about. So there's my Titanic update. Okay. Stranger. Everybody wants to know about Stranger. Well, so he, I don't remember how much, again, this is the part I get confused. I have gone in depth. I mean, I did a private podcast from his house when shit was going weird before I left. Like, that is the place to, like, again, that's like, that is my live when shit's going down and I just need to record and get something off my chest. Like, in the moment, that's where all of that happens. And so after I left, when I left and he caught me, leaving. I'm like, oh my God, how fucking awkward. And I got out and had, like I said, a very nice conversation with him. He's a nice guy. I mean, there's nothing bad to say about him. It just got a little sideways and weird, but I left and he did text me that next day, want to make sure I got home okay and everything, you know, he was checking on me because he said, will you text me when I left. He said, will you text me when you get to your hotel? Which I had told him, I'm just going local. I'm going to stay here local tonight in a hotel and then I'll drive back in the morning. I didn't really have an intention of that. I just wanted to see how far I could drive. I was kind of quasi hoping like maybe I could make it home. It was late though. There's no way. And I'm glad I eventually got so tired. I just had to pull over and spend the night in a hotel and then get up in the morning and finish. But so he was good about, you know, and I was the one that said, yeah, I'll, you know, when I get there, I'll check in tonight. And I didn't because I was driving. And then it was late when I got to the hotel. So he did check on me and that was nice. And then I didn't hear from him for about a week. And then, you know, he jumps back on there and, hey, how are you? I still hope you want to like make plans and like go to Nashville and all that stuff. And I said, you know, yeah, hey, I'm a yes girl. I'm still up for it. And then we were supposed to talk, I think the following night, and yeah, I didn't hear from him. So again, this is one of those things where I'm just like, ball is in your court. I am terrible, I guess. Not terrible, but I just have this thing where I'm like, people that date me in the very beginning and interact with me, and actually not even really in the very beginning, but especially for, you know, like when I'm interacting with men, which I always am most of the time, you have to be the pursuer, the hunter, the chaser. I will not be following up with you, pushing this forward. I'm open. That is up to you. You have to be the one that pushes this forward. Otherwise, it will go nowhere. Because I'm sort of testing and waiting to see what you do. And it's what I do isn't indicative of how much I like you or don't like you or want this to continue or not want this to continue. And I get that that can be confusing. But in the sex act, guys, I expect the man to be the man. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. I cannot. A leopard is not going to change its stripes, like spots. I'm sorry. It's a tiger in stripes. Pardon me. A leopard is not going to change its spots. This is my way of doing things. Is that possibly intentionally hurtful? Do I, you know, miss out on some opportunities or some people? Maybe I do. But in the big picture, this is my way of getting people to self-eliminate. And when you're talking to people, a lot of people at once, like this is what has to be done. And you need to have a way to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff. And this is like one of my ways. Like just, I don't announce that. I don't tell guys that, but you know what? If you're not pursuing me, it will not happen. Point blank. I don't care. And I sleep just fine with that decision because I love men. I like men that are decisive. I like men that can formulate what they want, be clear on it, and know how to take action and go after it and get it. And I reward such behavior profusely. I love it. It turns me on. It makes me way more sexual with you. Like way more. Oh my God. Doesn't matter if I'm the dominant or the submissive. Like I am fucking turned on by you. So that will come across in how, whatever way our dynamic is laid out, it will be apparent. But you've got to, outside of the bedroom, as the man, you have to do the heavy lifting. You have to chase me. You have to pursue me constantly, or it's just not going to happen. And like I said, that's not a me saying, oh, I'm right about this. It's just how I'm wired. And so I just need somebody that can at least do that level of stuff for me and with me, and then we'll be good. Yeah. So that's that update. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, that's the stranger update. So again, you know, he didn't call. I don't know. Like I said, at this point, who knows? I totally would like to see him again. I absolutely would. I think he and I could have a lot of fun, and I would hate to miss out on all that. But again, I'm not going to be the one to push it forward. It has to come from the male side. It has to. My vagina does not lubricate if the guy is not being the guy. Like that's what does it for me. Like when I say all of this masculine energy and men being men and traditional gender roles and all of that, like, I fucking do. I really, really do. It is for me. That is for me. And that's what makes me super sexual and super turned on and just gets me like hot, very hot. Now, speaking of someone who gets me hot, that would be Nico. Oh my God. Okay, next Tuesday is the Nico story. I'm not going to talk about that because it needs its own episode. It's so fucking hot and there's so much detail. But I will say that he just recently had a birthday and we did just a quick little FaceTime for his birthday because he needed an orgasm. He wanted an orgasm and I was feeling kind of generous. And so for his birthday, I let him ruin an orgasm because I couldn't actually do it in person. But I did let him ruin his orgasm and that was so hot and so delicious and just, oh my God, his cock is just, no, my cock. Sorry. Excuse me. That was a completely misspoken right there. My cock is gorgeous and hot and perfect in every way. It's the perfect size. It's the perfect shape. It's super sensitive. It's amazing. I love playing with it. I love touching with it. I love teasing it. I love everything I get to do with it. Caging it, pinwheeling it, teasing it, watching it just swell to painful proportions. Watching the guy that's attached to my cock writhe with passion and beg. The begging is so sublime. Oh my God. The begging. I'm not quite sure. There's not many. I mean, it's high up on there on the aphrodisiac scale. The moaning and the groaning and the begging. And if you've never had somebody beg you from the bottom of their soul and being for release and to come, if you've never experienced the power in that, oh my God, you are missing out. Trust me, it is something. Even for somebody who is inherently submissive like me, it's just another way of being in this something that's consensual and fucking sexy as hell, and everybody knows kind of what they're supposed to be doing. And oh my God. Yeah. Everybody, you've got to experience this. I don't care how you label yourself. You need to know what it feels like to have the power of someone else's orgasms gifted to you. It's really an unbelievable thing. So his birthday present was a ruined orgasm. And I made him FaceTime me. And he was just like, get himself all ready. He's all shaped up. He's all like, everything's perfect and smooth. And he's FaceTiming me. And I'm making his play with his butt plug and stimulate his ass. And I'm telling him exactly how to move it and where to put it and what to do with it. And just like trying to pull out of him, like, oh, you know, the feedback for how it's feeling and what he wants. And then he's asking me if he can come and he wants to come so bad. And I finally am just like, well, you can ruin an orgasm. And so while we're FaceTiming, I set my timer and I tell him, you've got 10 seconds. I get him all built up. I let him tease himself. I'm like, do this, stroke it like that, touch it like this. And then I set the timer and I'm like 10 seconds. And literally, you guys, it was 6.5, 7 seconds. And he's having this full blown, massive orgasm all over his chest. And the volume of cum is like so fucking hot. So unbelievable. Unfucking believable. I mean, there aren't even words. I'm like, I've got the pictures. I mean, so much. It's like pooling on the top of his chest all the way down to his belly button and then pouring over the sides. That is how much cum is coming out of this guy. Like, saying he's a heavy cummer is a bit of an understatement. And I love seeing how much, I really do. I love seeing just how much comes out of him by comparison, because I know it comes out in just average, normal guys. This is a lot. And I like seeing that because, of course, I'm as this dominant. I am watching. I'm inspecting. I'm making sure that he's not breaking the rules. And what I see that comes out is a good indicator of what a man is doing when I'm not around. So I like knowing and seeing that he's been a good boy. I don't just have to take his word for it because, you know, I'm a trust but verify kind of girl. As you guys know from the Titanic story, like, that guy taught me more than just, he taught me a lot of little life lessons in there. Thank you, Titanic. Thanks for the lesson. Anyway, so I am the cum load inspector. Like, I love to see a good, healthy load. Even when it's in the condom, I'm like, show me the condom. I want to see what's in there. It's kind of weird, but I do like it. I do like to see, like, I did that. That's my handiwork right there. Look at all that. It's an ego thing, I guess, but I find it very fascinating too. I find it just super fascinating. Guys that I could look at a load and be like, that guy masturbates a lot, like a lot. And then I can tell if you don't, how much are you getting off? Like your cum, it's like reading your tea leaves. I'm reading your cum leaves. Oh my goodness. That's an interesting concept right there. I think I could do a whole episode about that. Like the different kinds of cum I've seen, whether it's really watery or whether it's clumpy and thicker, the way it tastes. Yeah, it's all good stuff. All right, you guys. Well, there's my updates. Stay tuned next week. I've got to tell you this story about Nico. Oh my God. Let's see. What can I tell you about that without giving away too much? Well, something that, I mean, literally, he did something that showed me how turned on he is by me. And I'm not just talking about like a small little gesture. He did something that I still to this day, I'm like, how did you do that? Unbelievable. In the moment when it happened, we were both like, oh, no fucking way. Like, no fucking way that just happened. We were both blown away. And it was him. And it has to do with his level of arousal. And so, you know, again, I'm like, damn, I am just fucking good. Like, I can turn a guy on like nobody's business. Like, get me in a room with you naked, you're done. You're toast. You're mine. All right, guys. Well, everyone, this is a longer than normal Tuesday episode. Usually I keep it to about a half an hour. I hope you guys all made it through. I love you guys so much. As usual, please reach out to me anytime you feel like it. Do you have a thought, a question, a comment? You just want to say hello? I would love to hear from you. And it's so, so easy to do. You just go to thecuriousgirldiaries.com, click on the pink tab on the right-hand side on the homepage, or actually any page on the website, and you can leave me a voicemail. You have 5 minutes. Let it rip, guys. I get back to each and every one of you personally. It takes a lot of time. I've literally just reorganized my schedule to accommodate the level, the volume of voicemails I'm getting. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Go there. Like I said, whatever you want to talk about, it's just a fun way that we can kind of get to know each other. You can get to know me a little bit differently and I can get to know you a little differently because it's one-on-one. And we can spark some really fun, cool conversations. All right, everyone. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.